You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 39. I want to teach a simple message this morning. You need it nonetheless. I was looking around and I was thinking, how many of y'all really need this? And it looked like to me everybody did, so me included. So we're going to teach on. Now I want to teach a little bit on grace. Everybody say grace. Maybe not necessarily in the area of salvation, which we know we're saved by grace and not of works, lest any man should boast. I understand that. And it's by the grace of God we're saved. But I think we sometimes forget what grace really is. It's not just unmerited favor that God saved us. It's favor across the board. Hallelujah. It's grace. Grace and favor. Actually, that's the same word. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the words translated favor and the word translated grace are the same word. Same word in Hebrew, same word in the Greek. And so I think sometimes we forget that. You know, anyone ever got a job because they had favor? I would dare say most of us probably got hired on because of favor. Wasn't necessarily meeting the requirements. Maybe we were qualified and all that, but we knew somebody. Isn't that right? We had. When I think of favor, I think of friends in high places. You know, they open doors for us and they favor us. They know us. They do us a favor. You know, when you think of favor, I think of favorite things. You know, a favorite book, a favorite song, a favorite meal. You know, it's something that you gravitate towards, something that pleases you. So when God does have favorites, if you want to know the truth, He favors all those that trust Him. He favors. She's going to be fine. She's getting all of her stuff together right now. It's just where there's life, there's noise. Amen. So God favors us. We can incur favor. We can cooperate and line up with favor. We can obtain favor. Or we can cut off favor. You say, well, no, that's just unmerited. It has nothing to do with us at all. Grace is unmerited. Would you all agree with that? I mean, I didn't earn my salvation. I did have to call on God to be saved, though, didn't I? Amen. I did have to humble myself and say I'm lost and come to Him with an humble heart to obtain the favor and the grace of God by which we are saved. So there are things we do to line up with favor. I want more favor. How about you? Amen. I'd rather have the favor of God and all the intellect in the world and all the gifts and all the talents in the world. All the gifts and talents and intellect in the world will not take the place. All the gold and the silver in the world will not take the place of the favor of God. God, by His favor, can do more in 5 seconds than you can do in 500 years. He can send someone across your path or open a door or, you know, just by favor. You can be in the most trying times, worst situation of your life, and still yet, if you'll trust God, God can get you out and give you favor even in the midst of a battle and a trial. And here's a classic case or example of that in Genesis chapter 39. Found it? Now, Joseph had a rough time. Joseph, you say, well, Joseph, man, he just had, you know, everything going his way. Actually, everything went wrong for Joseph for a long time. But he kept his faith in God. He didn't give up. You know, I just taught Wednesday night a message on from victory to victory. I think sometimes we have the idea, and conversely, we get it opposite, we get it turned around. We think we're just going from one trial to another, one test to another test, one battle to another battle, and we kind of have this concept, this paradigm, this thinking, you know, this attitude, here we go again. I just got over that, and now I got to deal with this. Am I talking to anybody? But see, really, our attitude should be, we got over that thing. We got through that thing. We got the victory over that thing. We triumphed in that thing. So this is going to be another victory. This is going to be another testimony. This is going to be another triumph is what it's going to be. So we don't go from test to test. We go from testimony to testimony. We don't go from battle to battle. We go from victory to victory. Hallelujah. And you say, well, you don't know what I'm looking at. Well, things are looking right for a miracle. Amen. You're just going from one miracle to the next. Amen? And so that's really the way we should look at it. Joseph in his life had a lot that went wrong. I mean, He didn't have the best of family. You say, well, what are you talking about? He was one of the Israelites, one of the original 12, you know. Yeah, and his brothers threw him down a well, sold him to the Midianites, and went home and told his daddy he died. Now, today we call that a dysfunctional family. Yeah. Hello. And I don't know what your background is. I don't know. You know, I know what mine is, you know, and I know what I have to deal with. I don't know what you have to deal with, but I know this. It doesn't matter about your background. It doesn't matter about your past. It doesn't really matter so much about your present. What matters is about your future, what's possible, see, what can be. And that's what God sees. God sees what can be. What we need to do is look up in the midst of trials. Trials come, they go. But many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth us out of them all. Hallelujah. So we have the victory in Christ. We triumph in Christ. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And as long as we're in this life, you need to face this. You need to face this fact. We are in a battle. Okay? But having said that, we've got the Lord on our side. We've got before us who can be against us, or who cares who's against us. So here's Joseph. Joseph was thrown down this well, sold to the Ishmaelites, the Midianites, and then he was taken to Egypt and sold to a captain of the guard called Potiphar. And it's interesting, 39th chapter, first verse, Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him off the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. I'm reading New King James here. Let me change this to New King James just a minute. This iPad, I tell you. Usually I quote, you know, I quote King James while I'm trying to read New King James, but that time I was doing it backwards. But anyway, so the Egyptian bought him from the Ishmaelites and took him down to this Potiphar, the guard's house. Well, you think, well, now he's a slave. But it's interesting that even though he was a slave, he was a slave in the captain of the guard's house. That was kind of neat. He could have been a slave anywhere, but he was bought by this captain of the guard. And it says in the second verse, the Lord was with Joseph, hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. See, God does not forsake you when you're in the midst of a trial, trouble, crisis, battle, tragedy, or whatever's going on in your life, whatever it is you're facing. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. Wow. Thought he was a slave. Yeah, but he prospered even then. He did better than other slaves. And it is kind of relative, isn't it? I mean, you know, you may be in the mess, but hey, make a message out of your mess, you know. Believe God, trust God. God can prosper. Now, you know, obviously, there's this idea that everybody's going to be millionaires, and I don't really believe that. I think that God does prosper us. I believe in prosperity, no question. I think it's a relative thing. I mean, I've preached in India, and, you know, I've preached in Guatemala, and the jungles of Guatemala and Mexico. I've been in El Salvador and different places. I think there are some settings where that's not even realistic. I mean, in India, I've ministered in South India, that prosperity to them would have a bicycle because a lot of those pastors are walking. They don't have vehicles, you know. But you know what? You need to preach prosperity to them and preach success to them and tell them God will give them favor. And if favor to them is getting a bicycle, then that's prosperous. Are you with me? Then once they get a bicycle, they may start believing God for a car. I mean, but you don't start out, you know, getting $1 million. If you can't believe God for a hamburger, you're not going to believe God for $1 million. But here he was in jail, and yet he was successful. God began to prosper. I don't know where you are. You're not in jail. You're obviously here. So you're not as bad a shape as Joseph was. But whatever situation you're in, you can succeed and you can prosper if the Lord is with you. Amen. Amen. I believe he is. How about you? Amen. And you can be successful. And you can begin to prosper little by little. Incrementally, as it were. Start where you are. You know, just get a little bit. Get a little better job. Get a little better promotion. Whatever the case may be. Don't stop being successful. Don't stop prospering. You know, forgive some people. Then forgive a lot more people. Love one person. Then begin to love other people. You know, are you with me? Start where you are. You're not going to change everything overnight. But you can start where you are, start believing God to give you favor and make you successful wherever you are. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. That's not even a fair comparison. Paul even said those that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. They're not wise. I mean, I could think of churches that are so much larger than our church, so much more successful, and pastors that are younger than I am. Are you with me? And I ought to be pastor in that church. You know, I mean, you start thinking like that, you know. But then you start thinking, well, there's churches that are not as successful as ours. You know, the people that are not as large as we are. People that are much older than I am, that hadn't had the success we have. Listen, both those comparisons are wrong. Because everybody counts and everybody's important to God, whether it's a small church, big church, young person, or old person. Every one of us count and every one of us have a part to play. Now, we need to play the man, as it were, or the woman, if that's the case, and there's no other man, woman. We need to play our part, and there's no little thing in Christ, because everything's big in Christ. Everything we do is big. Hallelujah. Amen. But wherever we are, we need to believe for God's favor and His hand upon us to prosper us and make us a success. Whatever it is we do, I want to be successful. I think it's Martin Luther King says, if I was a street sweeper, I would pray that I would be the best street sweeper there ever was. People would walk down my street and say, Michelangelo swept that street. It's so clean. Something like that anyway. You want to pray to be the best that you ever, wherever you are. Amen. So don't start crying and don't start moaning and groaning, you know, about all the woes and the ills and the chills and everything going wrong in your life. And no, let's just start right where we are and let's get things right. Let's get started right where we are. We can't change the past, but we can change the future. We can go forward with the favor of God, with the grace of God. Wow. How's that possible? It's called grace. Grace. I love grace, don't you? It's unmerited. Grace is the opposite of mercy. See, mercy is where you don't get what you do deserve. That's called mercy. Grace is where you get what you don't deserve. That's called grace. Two sides of one coin called love. What's love got to do with it? Everything. The love of God is grace on one side and mercy on the other. I love that. He forgives us and we don't get what we deserve. And He favors or graces us and we get what we don't deserve. Hallelujah. But now you do have to line up with that grace and that mercy. You do have to call out. You do have to cry out. You do have to trust. But if you'll trust, God will do for you what you could never do by yourself. And God will cause you to prosper where you never could prosper before. He'll cause you to come out of that mess when no one else comes out. You come out. Hallelujah. You'll come out. Because of the grace and the favor of God. I believe in grace. I wouldn't be saved if it weren't for the grace of God. But I also believe that grace is active. I believe God's grace is still on me. I believe I can still stay in His good graces. I can believe I can stay in His favor. I got into this grace by believing. I'm going to continue in it by believing. Woo! So Joseph was a man who believed God in the midst of his situation. It says in the third verse that his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord had made all that he did to prosper in his hand. The fourth verse, so Joseph found favor in his sight. Oh, I love that. Found favor in his sight and served him. And he made him the overseer of his house and all that he had he put under his authority. Wow. That's favor. That's favor. But that came from the Lord being with him. Sometimes we need favor with other people. Well, it'll come from the Lord being with us. Always keep that in mind when you do get that favor that you don't think it's you. Hello. Well, that's just because I'm so great. No, it's because He's so great. Are you with me? Because you're not always all that great. Just ask any of us. We'll tell you. Okay. No, I mean, you know that. You're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But thank God for the favor of God. The more I serve God, the closer I get to Him, the more favor I seem to have. Favor seems to come to those that work real hard, too. I don't know why that is. It comes on people that do certain things. But favor comes from God if we'll obey Him. Now see, in this situation, what was so bad was he got this favor, but then the man's wife, the captain of the guard, Potiphar's wife, tempted him, and he obviously, thank God, did not give in to the temptation. And she falsely accused him and lied about him, and he got thrown in jail. What's a man going to do? I mean, here you are, and now you're in jail. I got thrown down a well. My brother sold me to the Midianites, and I was a slave, and I prospered there, and now I'm in jail. Well, Joseph didn't lose his faith. The Bible tells us God gave him favor while he was in jail. Yeah, but this has just gone from bad to worse. Hey, do not give up. Do not quit. Don't you give in to the devil. Because if you believe God and trust God, God's favor will come on you and you will give the devil a black eye and you will win and he will lose. The devil does not like you. He hates you. And he's your enemy and your adversary. God didn't throw you in that jail. And God didn't throw Joseph down that well. God used all that, yes. And God can use tragedy. And he can use crisis. And he can use what the devil means for bad. God can turn for good. But God's not against you. Let's don't get an abused wife syndrome here where we just keep going back to God and he slaps us and we keep going back to him. God's not slapping us around. He's not making us sick and healing us. Are you out there? There's an enemy doing that, the bad. Jesus said, the thief comes, steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life, that you might have more abundantly. Sometimes our own sins bring judgment on us. I understand that part, but that's our fault, not God's fault. Hello. But many times what happens is the devil's just trying to destroy you or me because we're a threat to him. We're serving God. And, you know, he's a strategist. I mean, why would he waste time on people not serving God? People that are serving God are a threat to his kingdom. And so he's going to throw his best shot. There's an attack on your family going on today. There's an attack on the church. There's an attack on finances. There's an attack coming to the church because we are a threat to the devil. But my Bible tells me the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God. Amen. My Bible tells me, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you.
That's right.
Woo!
Yeah.
Mm. So, here we have this example of Joseph being falsely accused and thrown into jail. But notice what it says in the... let's see. Let me get my cheaters on here. Y'all stay with me. I am fighting a migraine. I am healed in Jesus' name. I am so healed. I love that. I am so healed. I don't want your pity. I'd like for your faith to believe with me, you know, but if my eye goes like this, don't pay any attention to it, okay? But Joseph was thrown into prison, and it says in the 20th verse, then Joseph's master took him, put him into prison in a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. Now this is interesting because this wasn't even the worst part of the prison. So he got some kind of favor because he went into the part where the king's prisoners were. I think we often miss that when we read this. But, 21st verse, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Wow, I love that. Now think about this, and I mentioned it earlier, but the word favor there, here in the Hebrew, is the Hebrew word. It's the same word translated grace in the Old Testament. We just read there earlier, he had favor with that man. See, it's grace. Grace is just unmerited. Favor is just unmerited. It's something that God gives, that he puts on us. Because he favors us. If I go into a restaurant, you know, I'm bad about ordering the same thing every time I go in. I don't know about you. But I get something I really like, and I'm not real good about trying anything new after that. Maybe a few years I may, but, you know, for years I'll go in there and get the same thing. Man, I got that taste on my mouth. I'm going in there, and I gravitate toward that thing. Now, it's no probably better than anything else. It doesn't really deserve it. It's undeserving, but it is my favorite, so I favor it. Hello. You can put all kinds of desserts on the table. If you've got banana pudding on there, you ever seen Nemo and the seagulls? Mine, 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 mine. I gravitate, I delight in it. And God just, for some reason, when you serve God and you pray and you stay humble, and there's a lot of things that tell us that brings favor, if we do that, God just picks us out and he favors us. Just like you always go toward this. Well, God always, and you can look through the Scripture and you can see him leaning always toward certain attributes and certain characteristics. And humility is definitely one of them. And of course, truth is another one. Truth brings favor always. In fact, you go through Proverbs. We have time today. We'll do that. You go through Proverbs and it talks about things that bring favor, that obtains favor, incurs favor. I want favor. I need favor. I need God's hand upon me. So I need to cooperate and line up with the things that are going to bring favor in my life. And if I go out and be hateful to everybody, that's not going to bring favor. Are you with me? And if I'm just proud and arrogant, that's not going to bring favor. If I choose the good and choose to serve and help and bless, it incurs the favor of God and supernatural things begin to happen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I mean, things that just wouldn't happen any other way. Woo! Okay. So here he is. He's in the prison. 21st verse, the Lord was with Joseph, showed him mercy, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison, and whatever they did there, it was his doing. Wow. He gets in there, and now he becomes the head of the prison underneath the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison, 23rd verse, did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Man, I love that. I believe the Lord's with me, and I believe He makes me prosper. I believe the Lord's with you, and He makes you prosper. I believe the Lord's hand is upon you and upon me. His favor is upon us, and things just happen to us. I mean, because of the favor of God, because He loves us, and He cares for us, and He favors us. Wow. Turn over to Proverbs. Let's look at some things here in Proverbs that will bring favor. Would you like to have favor? You know, I love it when Gabriel came to visit Mary. Mary had to be overcome by this experience. She was just a young virgin, you know, and betrothed to, you know, to Joseph. And the angel said, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God." That's interesting. Even in the New Testament, that word favor is translated grace in many other places. In fact, by grace are you saved. Same word, charis. Everybody say charis. Sounds like kiss, doesn't it? Charis, charis. Charis. But that's the word grace is the Greek word charis. Everywhere you see grace in the New Testament, it's charis. And then favor also. When you see favor, same thing. And I always love to say this. Of course, they say we're charismatic because we speak in tongues and we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. But actually, matic, it comes from matikos. It means to operate by. Like a tool that operates by air. Pneuma is air or spirit. Pneumatic tool, it's operates by air. Autos means of itself. So automatic, it runs by itself. So if I'm charismatic, we're run by grace. I like that. Truth be known, we're all charismatic in the strictest sense of that word, okay? But they got that from the charismata, the gifts of grace that 1 Corinthians 12 talks about. So they'll say, you know, they're charismatic or that's the charismatic movement. But literally the word just means to operate or run by grace or favor. I love to run by favor. How about you? I'd like to run my whole life by favor, the favor of God, just to operate in it, just to move in it. And people look and they say, that had to be God. That must be the hand of God on him. That's favor on him, hallelujah, or her, or whatever the case may be. You know, God favored me when I got saved, no question. He favored you when you got saved. In fact, this dispensation we're living in, Paul calls it the dispensation of grace or favor. Same thing. Amen. And it all is wrapped up in Jesus. When Jesus came along, God's favor hit the earth. And a whole new dispensation started. A whole new age started for us. A whole new covenant began when He rose from the dead. The Bible says the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. As long as you're under the law, you'll never have the favor of God. But favor comes from Jesus. Grace and favor. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. Amen. But here in the Proverbs, just a few scriptures in Proverbs we'll go over here. I won't keep you a long time. But I'll just keep you till you get it. And I'll know by how well you amen. So that's just... Oh, now. Oh, yeah. You're getting it now. Okay. Cheap way to get amen, but it works. Notice what it says, Proverbs 3:1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. I love that. You can extend your life. Don't get buy into this idea or this doctrine that, you know, everybody has a appointed time to die. The Bible says it's appointed a man once to die. It didn't say it's appointed time to die. The Bible is filled with promises that will allow you to lengthen your life. You can lengthen your life by not forgetting His law and keeping His commandments. Hello. Now that just makes good sense. You know, I'm always amazed when you read the headlines of people that have been killed or shot or stabbed. Most people get shot and stabbed usually at places like bars at 2 o'clock in the morning. Just a thought. even that's pretty simple when you think about it. If you live for God, you kind of live longer, don't you? You know, and you won't go certain places, don't hang around certain people, so you'll automatically give your odds, your percentages are going way up already when you're in church and serving God. But there's the spiritual principle here that if you keep His Word, and that God will add length of days to your life and add peace to your life. Hallelujah. Because if you're in His Word and you're keeping His Word, when tragedy happens and crisis happens and challenges come and tests come, you have hope. You don't crater. You don't fall apart. You get peace. You have peace because you know it's going to turn out all right. You live longer for not just being stressed out all the time. Hallelujah. But then it says, third verse, let not mercy and truth forsake you. I love that. Let's be merciful people, okay? We got no stones to throw. I know we stand for something in the church. Lest we fall for everything, we got to stand for something. I know you're not going to hear a lot about holy living and morality and goodness and living right in the world. You're not. You're sure not going to hear it on TV. It's amazing how our culture has changed in the last 30 years. You hear things on TV and see things on TV that would never, ever have gotten on the screen 30 years ago. Never, ever gotten on the screen. But now it's just common. It just goes. It's in cartoons even. It's in everything. Now, having said that, those people need to be saved. We need to reach out to them. We don't hate them. We're not against people that sin. I think it's a terrible indictment on the church that the world knows what we're against, but they don't know what we're for. The world needs to know what we're for. We're for people.
Yes, that's right.
Homosexuals, I think homosexuality is a sin. It's an abomination to God. But you know what? We are not against homosexuals.
That's right.
They can be saved. They can repent. They can come, bring the adulterers, bring them all. If they'll repent, we'll take them. I don't care about your past. There is restoration. There is redemption. A ransom has been paid. If you can come out of that prison, you don't have to live that way anymore. God is against that, but He loves you. And if you repent, He'll take you and we'll take you. And you can start a whole new life. We don't hate you. Are you out there? And so that's mercy. See, the church ought to be about mercy. We don't have to compromise holy living to be about mercy. We can still stand up and say we don't like sin. We can still stand up and say it's killing you, it's hurting you, it's a bad thing, you don't need to do that, you don't need to live that way. But by the same token, we ought to also say, look, there is hope for you. You can come out of that, you can be saved, you can get help. Hallelujah. Woo! That's mercy. But notice what it says here. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. You need truth and you need mercy. You got to speak the truth, but you ought to. Oh, come on now. I've been in some churches. Yeah, they're telling you Scripture. But man, there is just no mercy. None at all. There is no mercy. Then I've been in some churches where it's just all mercy and there's no truth. Hello? And nobody's ever confronted about anything they do, ever, about anything wrong at all. So there's a balance there. But he says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them on your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. So find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Wow. How many of you want favor? Like Joseph had favor. Even in the worst situations, God still gave him favor. Of course, we didn't have time to go through the whole story. He finally got exalted to the right hand of Pharaoh. He went from the prison to the palace. Overnight. Supernatural favor. And there wasn't anything that got done in Egypt that he didn't do. He was over everything. He got the golden ring, the seal. He had a chariot and rode behind the Pharaoh. Wow. Now that was favor. How do you go from being a slave to that? Oh, that's favor. That's what that is. That's supernatural, God-given favor. And that's what he had on his life. And that's a phenomenal story. It'd take us a few services to even finish that story. But how do I get favor? Well, there's some ways you can line up with favor and occur favor and obtain favor. You can be merciful and you can get into the truth. Find out the truth about God and about the world and about you. And you find that in the Bible. And as you do that, favor comes on you. The favor of God comes on you. As we're in the third proverb, look at the 34th verse. Surely he scorns the scornful, but he gives grace to the humble. Everybody say grace. Same word, favor, grace, same thing. So if I've got an humble spirit about me, then he'll give me favor. If I'm just proud and arrogant, I can't expect God to favor me. But if I'm humble, if I have humility, you know. See, these are things that you need to write down. You need to think about. If you want supernatural favor, which only God can give, then you need to line up with that favor. I want to line up with that. God's not going to give me favor if I'm hateful to everybody. I have to be merciful. God's not going to give me favor if I think I'm better than everybody. I have to be humble. I have to be humble. I have to. You know, it's only a humble man can see God when you think about it. A proud man can't see God. Cannot. A proud man can't see anybody above him, so they never see God. Are you with me? And a humble man can because he's humble. You know, God be merciful to me. You know, that's what the publican said in the temple. And the Pharisee said, thank God I'm not like that publican. Well, now, see, one was humble. He was humble before God, and went away justified, Jesus said. And the arrogant person that began to cite all the good things he did, he went away unjustified. Kind of like a cat and a dog. You know, dog just glad to be there. Just happy that you'd pet that dog. Happy that you would even spend time with the dog. You know, you can actually kick the dog and come back. The dog still come back and lick your finger. You know, and you holler at the dog and the dog still comes back. He's just so blessed to be there and just so happy to be here. The cat's just over there on the couch thinking, thank God I'm not a dog. The dog is another one. The dog, you feed the dog, you take care of the dog, you let him in the house, you know, when it's warm in the winter, you know, in the house and cool in the summer, and you just pet the dog and you groom the dog and cater to the dog, and the dog thinks, man, they must be gods. They take care of me. They feed me. They clothe me. They take care of me. They keep me warm. And the cat, you know, cat's over there, and you feed the cat and you groom the cat and you keep the cat warm in the winter, and the cat thinks, hey, I must be a god. They feed me. It's a pharisaical thinking, you know. It's like the Pharisee and the publican. And I'll tell you who has the favor of God. The dog, okay? No. The humble person. The humble person. The one with humility. The one with mercy. Hallelujah. And if you want favor, and I need it, and I'm sure you do too, you want it, then that's how it's going to come. Turn to Proverbs 8. We'll just go through a few verses here that talk about obtaining favor. Proverbs 8, 33rd verse, says, hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. I've heard it all, I don't want to hear that. No, we need to be open. You know, one thing I say, when you come to church, two things. You ought to come to church with two things in mind. Always come hungry. Always. Come hungry. Come really wanting to learn something. Hungry for the Word. Hungry for truth. Hungry for something that's going to, you know, speak to you. Talk to you. Don't come, well, I know it all. I'm just doing my duty. No, you come hungry. And then two, come willing to be changed. Because if you come hungry, God will fill you, but He'll always, always tell you something you need to change. I don't know why that is. Isn't that true? Something you need to work on. Your miracle includes you. God always includes you in your miracle. You know, you have to adjust something or change something. So come hungry and come willing to be changed. So you want to hear instruction and be wise and don't disdain it. You'll never live long enough to know it all. Never, ever will you ever learn it all. There's always something you can learn and something that you can adjust and tweak in your life. And so he says, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, the gates of wisdom and instruction, waiting at the post of my doors, who is trying to learn and understand what life is about and what he's about or she's about, making adjustments and changing and so on. For whoever finds me, wisdom and instruction, finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. I like that. So now I've already learned some things here. See, if I'm merciful and I've got humility and I'm humble and I seek after wisdom and understanding, I'm not a know-it-all, if I seek after wisdom, then God will favor me. But when I get to where I know it all and I don't care about people, hello, not merciful to people, and I'm proud, then I don't have the favor of God on me. I don't have as much favor on me. I don't want to be there. I don't want to go there. Like Moses said, I said it earlier, you know, that God, if your presence doesn't go with us, I don't want to go. But, you know, he can go with us. He will go with us. He's wanting to go with us. He leans toward and favors humility and seeking to understand and mercy. Oh, he shows up when we do those kinds of things. Now, he who sins, 36 verse, he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. If you sin against wisdom and understanding. And all those that hate wisdom and understanding love death. Wow. Hey, real quickly, 11th Proverb. Proverbs 11. I'm wrapping this up. I'm going to get you out by 12. Notice the 27th verse. He who earnestly seeks good finds favor. But trouble will come to him who seeks evil. If you're out to get people, you're not going to have favor. You're going to have trouble. Even if people don't recognize it, even people don't praise you, and people don't thank you, and people don't know what you're doing, and you don't get enough recognition. Oh, my goodness, I'm doing all this, and nobody ever recognizes me, and nobody even cares. Well, listen, God cares, and He sees, and He knows. If you do good, God will favor you. I love that. So I got to be merciful. I need to be humble. I need to seek after wisdom, and I need to do good. I need to help people. But if I'll do that, then the favor of God just come on me. You know, it's amazed me in this church that when we've done outreaches and ministries and so on and so forth, how God just shows up.
Yeah.
Just supernaturally shows up.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't even have we've never had a building program fund or building fund where we, you know, fundraiser for buildings and fundraiser for, you know, concrete. It's just, the more we support missions, the more we help people, the money just comes in. You know, the Hallelujah Night's expensive to do that every year. But we decided to do that to help people, to bless children, to give children an opportunity to hear about the gospel that don't even go to church in an environment that's fun and exciting, but it's all about Jesus. And you know, it costs money to do that. It takes a lot of people to make it happen. But you know, people show up and the money comes in.
Amen.
Amen.
But we supernaturally, we don't even solicit. It just comes in.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we got our land out here. It was paid for. The day we're signing the papers with the money to buy it, and someone wrote a check for the whole thing. Here we had the money to buy it. We started pouring concrete, and you know, we're out of debt. We're completely out of debt. And giving to missions, and I heard God speak to me one day out here on the parking lot. I was pacing the parking lot, and we were getting ready to pour another pour, and you know, we poured several sections, one at a time, and so on and so forth, and as the money would come in, and I was praying and praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, and you know, and praying over the land, praying over all that land before we got that land. And I was figuring out how much concrete we needed for the next pour and so on and so forth. And I heard in my spirit God say, not an audible voice, but in my spirit saying, son, if you continue to support missions like you're doing, you can have all the concrete you want. And that's been the case. It's always been the case. We've never taken an offering for concrete. We never take an offering for a building. It's just we just paid it out of the overflow. We do the V money, the dollar money. We always let that build up. But we paid cash for the chairs you're sitting on. We didn't take a chair offering, you know. Now, is there anything wrong with that? Of course not. It's perfectly all right to take chair offerings and building offerings and land offerings. It's just for us, we get ready for a big expense. We start supporting missions.
Amen. Yeah.
For us, we found out the way to get money is to give it away. That's good stuff, amen? And the food ministry, it's just exploding. I mean, it's exploding. We had 114 families this week. We had 114 families last week.
Amen.
Week before last. And you know, it just supports itself. Not a burden on the church.
Amen.
Favor. That's favor. That's fair. You know why? Because we're doing a good thing. We're doing a good thing. We're being merciful. See? We're being merciful about it. And I hope we're being humble. I don't know. It's an elusive thing. By the time you think you have humility, you just lost it. But we understand that we're where we are because of God, and it's not because of us. And that's how favor comes. So, he who earnestly seeks good finds favor. But trouble comes to him who seeks evil. Look at the 12th Proverb, 2nd verse. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions he will condemn or judge. And then 13th Proverb, we'll close this out. It'll be the last one. And it really it's about the same as we've been saying here. 13, Proverbs 15th verse. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. So we ought to seek wisdom, seek understanding, be merciful, be humble, seek good, do good things, and just watch out, because this stuff's going to come on you and it's going to overtake you. You know what Deuteronomy 28 says? If you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God and do that which is right in his sight to keep these commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come on you and overtake you, and blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the field, and blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your kind, the fruit of your cattle, and blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out, and blessed shall be your basket and your store, and the Lord will cause the rain to come down your land in its season, hallelujah, and you'll lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow. Woo! If you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his sight,
amen,
favor will come.